no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. This week, our hour of radio drama begins with The Zero Hour. We'll hear their story from July 2nd, 1974, titled Murder is a Work of Art. After that, it's Theater 5 and Living Credit, their story from November 6th, 1964.
I'm Rod Serling. You're listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Glenn Hall Taylor's eerie drama of mummies and revenge. Murder is a work of art. Starring Bob Crane. In the Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company and Lazy Boy Recliners. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Car size and fuel economy are important considerations today, but so is the total cost of ownership, which involves purchase price, trade-in value, and operating economy. And Ford feels that if you compare mid-size cars, you will choose Ford Torino. Take operating economy. Torino offers gas-saving steel-belted radial ply tires standard, runs on regular gas, and has a 26.5-gallon fuel tank. That's 20% more capacity than its leading sales competitor. And to compare some scheduled maintenance costs, you'll find that in the course of 50,000 miles, compared to its closest sales competitor, Torino's chassis is scheduled to be lubricated only once to their 8 times. Spark plugs are scheduled to be replaced only half as often. Everyone says compare. Ford says compare not only the cars, but the total cost of owning a car.
The closer you look, the better we look.
It is night. The city sleeps. In the darkened Civic Art Museum, the cardinals, warriors, princes, and madonnas of Rembrandt, Van Dyck, Vermeer, and Picasso peer down from the walls in the dim light, while Remington's cast-in-bronze Indians ride in the shadows. An aged watchman's footsteps echo through the main corridor. Arriving at the end of the long marble hall, he pauses, preparatory to retracing his steps, when suddenly, as he looks idly about...
Help! Help me!
Who are you?
Oh, thank heaven you're here.
What's the matter, young lady?
In there, in that room.
What is it? What's in there?
A mummy.
Naturally, that's the Egyptian room.
But this mummy, at least a figure wrapped in cloth, it came walking toward me.
Oh, I'm afraid you're imagining things. Come on, let's take a look.
Oh, no, you mustn't. It might be a ghost. Oh,
come along, young lady. I'll show you there are no ghosts in this museum. Come on.
Well, all right, but...
How did you get in here at this hour of the night?
I was doing some research work. I must have fallen asleep.
Nobody came into the room to warn you we were closing?
No. When I awakened, it was dark. I gathered up my papers and things and started to leave when I saw that figure.
Is this room here?
Yes. Oh, but please be careful.
Why? Mummies are very friendly as far as I'm concerned. Never give me any trouble. Here, I'll flip the wall switch. You just stay there if you're scared.
Do you see anything?
No ghosts in here, young lady. But there's a dead man on the floor. Oh, dear young lady, now don't faint on me. So I fetched her a glass of water, and as soon as she seemed to have herself under control, I called the police.
Glad you did. I'm Inspector Ostro. This is my partner, Detective Wendover.
My name's Abington.
How do you do, sir?
The body's right in there, gentlemen.
Thanks. You'll be around when we need you.
Oh, sure will.
What's it look like to you, Ted? Judging by the blood on his shirt, the wounds in his back. Yeah, maybe we'll pull his shirt up. Yeah, there.
Sure doesn't look like a bullet wound. A knife, maybe.
Let's turn him over.
You need any help?
No. Let me get this shirt open in front.
Whatever it was, it went right clean through him.
Looks like it, Barney.
Hey, Ted, there's a wallet sticking out of his inside coat pocket. Hand it to me, will you? I'll take a gander at it while you're looking him over.
Sure. Here.
Thanks. What do you suppose the weapon was?
I don't know. The hole looks too small for a sword or a spear. You know something? His face looks familiar.
Yeah, kind of vaguely. Hey, Ted, here's some things. There's a... The Guild membership cards, Actors Equity, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, Screen Actors Guild. Hey, his name's Bruno Carn, sure.
That's why he looked familiar. He stars in those horror movies that are so popular nowadays.
Yeah, you never know whether he's going to play a guy with two heads or a robot in a spaceship.
Call the watchman, will you, Barney? Abington, I think his name is.
Yeah, that's it.
Mr. Abington? Will you come here a moment, please?
Yeah, right away, sir. Well, what can I do for you?
No word about the coroner yet?
No, sir. By the way, there are several newspapermen outside.
They didn't lose any time.
Well, they didn't come because of the murder. They claim that about 8:30, they were tipped off that a girl was locked in here and that she said she'd seen a ghost. Now, that'd be the girl waiting in the curator's office.
8:30? That's before the body was found.
That's right.
You better have a talk with that girl right now. Show us to the curator's office, will you please, Mr. Abington?
Oh, glad to. Just follow me.
My name is Grace. Grace Phillips. Phillips is spelled with two L's.
Yes, ma'am. About your address, please.
Oh, it's 207 Christopher Street.
As I understand it, you were locked in the museum after hours. You fell asleep and woke
up.
Please. Isn't that what you told the watchman?
Yes, but it wasn't the truth. Why did I ever let myself get tangled up in this thing?
Now might be a good time to tell the truth, Miss Phillips.
Yes, of course. I was hired to come here tonight.
Hired?
I'm an actress. I was paid $150 to come here.
What for?
I don't know exactly. My agent called me, asked me if I'd like to work tonight, and I said yes, and he sent me to a man named Freeland who works for a motion picture company.
What's the name of the company, ma'am?
Avon Jewel.
Freeland hired you to come here?
Yes. I was told to report to the basement entrance of the museum at 8 o'clock and to ring the knife bell. A man met me. I don't know his name. I've never seen him before. And he brought me to the Egyptian section.
Then what?
He told me to wait until I heard the watchman approach. He said he was due at 9. Then as soon as the watchman showed up, I was to scream, which I did.
Yeah, so the watchman said.
Then I was to run to him and say that I'd just seen a mummy walking toward me.
Which you also did.
Yes.
Did you know there was a dead man in that Egyptian room?
Oh, I didn't even go into that room. I'd been waiting in the corridor as the man told me to.
That man? What happened to him?
I don't know. He left me standing there.
I just thought of something, Ted.
Hmm?
It seems to me I remember that Bruno Carnes also worked for Avon Jewel Studios.
Avon Jewel made a whole series of horror pictures with Bruno Carnes. But what's he got to do with this?
That's his body in the Egyptian room.
Oh, no. Oh, that poor guy. He was so nice to me once when I did a bit part in one of his pictures. For a big star, he wasn't the least bit stuck up. Everybody liked him.
Well, at least one person didn't. Barney, with Bruno Carnes and Freeland tied in with the same studio plus the story this young lady has told us, this just might be some sort of a publicity stunt that backfired.
Could be.
Barney, get on the horn. Call homicide.
Okay.
Tell them to pick up Freeland and get him in here as fast as they can.
Hi, this is Jim Backus with a special announcement about an exciting Lazy Boy chair sale taking place at your Lazy Boy dealers now. Lazy Boy reclining chairs of your choice are available at unheard-of savings for a limited time only. Treat yourself and your family to a lifetime of comfort and beauty. Once you do, you'll wonder how you ever relax without one. Get America's comfort favorite, a Lazy Boy chair now. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. Run in there. He'll be glad to see you. Yes, he will.
Listen to a tough summer wash. The machine's loaded with sweat socks, beach towels. These things aren't just dirty, they smell. If you want to make sure it comes out clean and fresh, pour Lysol brand disinfectant in your washing machine. Lysol cuts way down on germs, eliminates odors, especially important if you wash in cold water. Lysol, the brown bottle in the red and yellow box, the fast, easy, effective way to cut down on germs. Make your whole wash smell fresh and clean every time you wash.
You're 17, 18. You've graduated from high school. You want to make something of yourself. But you don't have that something to make it with, like money for 4 years of college. What do you do? Well, you don't need 4 years of college to get a good job. Today, there's a crying need for technicians in exciting fields like oceanography, electronic data processing, health service, environmental control, forestry, and many others. Technicians earn twice the salary of the average high school graduate. Some even make more than four-year college graduates. All you need is a year or two of technical training. To learn how you can become a technician, send for our free booklet. It's called 25 Technical Careers. Write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202. If you can't afford 4 years of college, write Careers, Washington, D.C., 20202, and make something of yourself.
The police just arrived with Mr. Freeland. I brought him in.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Abington. Come on in, Mr. Freeland. I'm Detective Wendover. This is Inspector Ostro. Miss Phillips, I believe you know.
Yes. Look, what is this all about? On the way over, the officer in the squad car told me Carnes had been murdered, but I don't know anything about it.
We thought you might be able to help us.
Well, I don't know.
Is this the man who hired you, Miss Phillips?
Yes.
Now, was it for a publicity stunt, Mr. Freeland?
Yes, Bruno Carnes had just finished making a picture called The Mummy Murders. It opens here in town tomorrow. My story was going to be that she gets locked in, and by a strange coincidence, Bruno Carnes gets locked in, too. She meets him, he wants her for a part in his next picture, and instead of being an item in a movie column, it gets a front-page spread.
I didn't know, Inspector.
That's right. I thought it would play better if she didn't, though. I had to tell Carnes, of course.
Did you meet her here tonight?
No, I had to cover a sneak preview. My assistant met her.
Was he a tall, red-headed man?
Yes.
Can you prove that you were at that preview?
Yes, Sherlock, I can.
Where's your assistant now?
I don't know. He might still be in the basement.
Miss Phillips, you say you didn't see Mr. Carnes.
No, never.
You know how to get to this basement, Mr. Freeland?
Yes, I got the business manager of the museum to show me around after I got his permission to stage this stunt.
Would you mind showing me around down there?
Not at all.
Good. Barney, stay here with Miss Phillips. I'm going to check out the basement.
Freeland, you scared me bursting in like that.
What's the matter?
Did he come back here?
Who?
The inspector.
No, what happened?
I lost him down in the basement. It's dark down there. It was right after he found my assistant's hat and he saw the blood on the floor.
Blood?
Well, there were blood stains just inside the basement door. The inspector said there were marks that looked like a body had been dragged along the floor. He was following the marks. I had my back to him and I heard him call out.
What do you mean, call out?
Like he was calling for help.
You dope. Why didn't you say so right away? Come on, take me down there. Sure is dark down here. Wait a second, let me turn on my flashlight. You see anything?
Just an empty room.
Ted? Ted?
How about this corridor here?
That's worth a try.
Maybe he found his way out of this maze of rooms.
Yeah, maybe. But what about that call for help?
Maybe he was just calling out to locate me.
Maybe.
What's that on the floor at the end of the corridor? Throw the light down there.
Looks like a body. Come on.
It is a body.
Oh, no. It's Ted. I'm still trying to reconstruct what happened to you.
Well, I was following those marks along the floor in the basement because I was positive someone had dragged a body along there. I followed them to the end of the corridor, and sure enough, the body was there. A tall, red-headed guy.
My assistant. Was he dead?
I'm fairly certain he was. I thought so when I bent over to examine him, but before I could be positive, I got it on the back of the head.
Who is it?
Edmonton, the watchman.
Come on in.
The doctor you phoned for is down at the main entrance.
I don't think I'll need him, but you'd better tell the doctor to stick around, Abington. Even if I don't need him, Mr. Freeland's assistant may when we find him. I think he's still alive.
Okay, sir.
Now, what was that about Freeland's assistant being alive?
I thought you said earlier that you were pretty sure he was dead.
Hey, you did, Ted. Now, what about the remark you made to Abington just now?
Well, when I was trailing the dragged body, the marks indicated that whoever was dragging it had stopped and gone into a room on the left-hand side of the corridor. After I'd recovered from that wallop on the head and you fellows came back upstairs here, I returned and checked that room.
You find anything?
It turned out to be Abington's living quarters. And snooping around, I found an old scrapbook. Seems the old boy was a prominent actor in his youth. In fact, he'd worked with Bruno Carnes' father, also a well-known actor.
Yes, incidentally, you may not know it, but the museum has quite a theatrical collection. Carnes' father contributed a lot of its artifacts, his personal belongings.
I know. And I noticed, too, that the Carnes' items, costumes, wigs, manuscripts, so forth, had on more than one occasion been vandalized.
That's right. The newspapers made quite a thing of it at the time.
Uh-huh. Which didn't hurt the box office of the younger Carnes films, right?
Well, if you're hinting that anything like that would be deliberate on the part of...
I wasn't implying anything like that, Freeland. What I thought was more interesting was the fact that Abington seemed so preoccupied with news items devoted to the vandalizing of the Carnes artifacts.
What are you getting at?
That remark you made to Abington about Mr. Freeland's assistant being alive. It was bait, wasn't it?
Bait?
Bait. The watchman is tied into this in some way.
You suspect him of the murder of Bruno Carnes and Freeland's assistant?
I might, if I knew he had a motive. So, let's see if we can find one.
Are you sure you want to take a sloppy Joe for lunch, Bobby?
Yes, Mom.
No, Bobby, not unless you take a soap and water to go, too.
Soap and water? In my lunch pail? It'll ruin everything.
When you want soap and water to go, you want wash and dry. They refresh while you scrub, get you clean like soap and water, and they don't fall apart like napkins can.
You mean wash and dry can do anything soap and water can do?
That's right.
Let me see you blow bubbles with it.
Wash and dry. Soap and water to go.
This is Jim Backus with news about the most comfortable experience of a lifetime. A Lazy Boy reclining chair. It's ideal for apartments, living rooms, dens, family rooms. Lazy Boy is as beautiful as it is comfortable. Available in any style you can imagine and in hundreds of decorator fabrics and vinyls. Make your favorite room a haven of gracious living. See your Lazy Boy dealer today. Hurry up. He's waiting. Run down there. Go. Yes, indeed.
All right, today we're going to make the apple sauce.
Okay, keep your head back, Deidre. Don't you put that bead to put that, Deidre. You pin them.
How to make it?
Yeah, she gives you a pen. There's a book that has it.
I can't keep the space and stuff straight.
Yes, you can. Lisa, you've got 12 feet of water. Are you all right?
No.
People working with girls' clubs can make a difference. This is Carol Burnett asking you to help your local girls' club or write to Girls Clubs of America, Box 35, Grand Central Station, New York, 10017, to help get one started. You can make a difference.
You want to be a physical education?
You know what you have to do?
Good luck.
All that science, all that fruit.
Don't get me down.
No chance of the watchman being down here in the basement already, is there?
No, Freeland will keep him occupied for a few minutes asking more questions about what happened tonight.
You said you found the body at the end of the corridor where we found you.
Yeah. Obviously, whoever it was dragged it away after he slugged me. Aim your flashlight over there, will you?
Yeah.
I'll see where that leads.
Hey, this is a real labyrinth down here with all these storerooms and cubicles. Hey, here's a room we didn't see before.
Feel for a light switch.
Yeah, here's one.
Nothing. Wait.
What?
Look where I got the flashlight beam. The drag marks lead to that door over there.
Yeah, I see them.
Let's take a look.
Boy, that's a bright light.
It certainly is illuminating. Hey, look over there.
Hey, the red-headed guy. I wonder if he's... Oh, he's a goner, Ted.
I thought so. Okay, leave him just as he is. Anything behind that big crate over there?
No, nothing.
Okay, let's duck behind it. If whoever wants to be sure Freeland's assistant is dead comes in to check, his back will be toward us as he faces the corpse. I'll give the cue. You step out that side, flip on the light. I'll step from behind the box on the other side, and we'll have him covered.
Okay. I'll close the door. You get behind the crate, and I'll switch off the light and join you.
Hope we don't have to wait too long. This place stinks of mothballs.
We've been down here quite a while now. If the guy is coming, it should be pretty soon.
This may be it. Now, hold it, Mr. Abington. Hands over your head. Frisk him, Barney.
Give me that rapier, Abington, and stand still.
Wouldn't have done you any good to stab him anyway. He's already dead.
You trapped me.
Seems to me you're somewhat rapier happy, Mr. Abington. That long, slender steel blade went all the way through Bruno Carnes, and it seemed to work very efficiently on your latest victim. Why the rapier, Mr. Abington?
Why? You ask why the rapier? Do you know what Bruno Carnes' father did to me? He ended my career on the stage when I was only a young man.
All right, calm down, Mr. Abington. How was that?
We were on the stage fencing when he deliberately lunged at me with a rapier. He wounded me so badly I was bedridden for years.
But it must have been an accident.
Accident? He was green with envy.
But why Mr. Freeland's assistant?
Because he saw me trying to dispose of the rapier in the basement. I killed Bruno Carnes because he was the son of the man I hated. He who dies by the sword shall perish by the sword.
Or maybe by the gas chamber.
Barney?
Yeah.
I hope you noticed. Mr. Abington has definitely established a motive.
Look, you don't have to sell me on them. I know all about them.
You know everything about these Ford pickups I'm selling?
Sure. I know about Ford's twin I-beam front suspension.
Uh-huh.
I know you get front disc brakes, standard.
But do you know we give you a choice of an economical 6 or one of 3 V8s?
Sure.
You know about Ford's all-new Super Cab, the only two-door pickup with the extra room for a full back seat?
Super Cab?
Ford's Super Cab pickup. It seats a family of 6 in sedan-like comfort.
I didn't know that.
Or did you know that Super Cab's optional full-width rear seat folds flat to make a load floor?
Yeah?
Or that you can get optional facing jump seats that fold out of the way? Or with no rear seats at all, you get a full 44 cubic feet of extra storage space?
I didn't know that either.
That's it. Ford's new Super Cab. Like all Ford pickups, it works like a truck, rides like a car.
That I knew.
Ford's new Super Cab. It's news even to people who thought they knew all about Ford pickups. See it now at your local Ford dealer.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes, exercise your imagination, and join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Murder is a Work of Art was adapted for radio by Glenn Hall Taylor. Bob Crane was heard as Ted Ostro. Featured in the cast were Julie Bennett, Marvin Miller, Herb Ellis, and Mike Rye. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Colas, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman, Rochelle Sherman Associate Producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
If you don't believe the story we're going to tell you, don't come crying around and say we didn't warn you. Better listen to Living Credit on Theater 5.
William Granville, Chief
credit supervisor of the City Central Record Bureau.
I suppose I'm the most important man in town. More important than the mayor or the city manager. No one can get along without credit. Your parents have a child account, permitted you to be born. And your children's budget burial account will allow you to die with dignity. And in between times, credit will keep you alive and happy. Credit. And the records which help us decide whether to grant or withhold it. You know, there are times when I think that a man's records are more real than he is. Lose a person and the records will help you find him. But lose the records and what do you have?
Darling, I'm home.
Well. Have a good day.
Absolutely exhausted. What I could use right now is a beautiful cold drink served up in a clear glass with plenty of ice cubes.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I'm afraid it's the refrigerator. No ice.
Oh, boy. Just what I needed. What happened?
Well, how should I know? The ice maker doesn't work.
Well, why didn't you call a repairman?
I did. Do you think my day was so wonderful? With that darn refrigerator and waiting for the repairman. And then Nancy overdrew her kindergarten easy credit. And Billy's teacher called to say he hadn't done his homework. Well, you ought to stay around here. You'd really be exhausted.
I'm sorry, sweetheart. I shouldn't have shouted. But what did the man say?
Well, what would you think he'd say? We need a whole new machine.
I suppose we'll just have to buy one. I know I can't face too many more days without a cold drink. What's the state of our credit accounts?
Just a second, I'll see. Yeah, here we are. Well, we used the add-on mortgage for your workshop last winter.
Mm-hmm.
And the take-your-time was used for Nancy's dancing lesson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, how about stretch it out? We've hardly touched that one at all.
Well, it's up to you, dear. Just as long as we get that refrigerator.
Now, you say that this is your best model. I mean the ice maker. The ice maker especially. I don't want any trouble with it.
I can assure you it's reliable.
You're positive?
I don't know of a single complaint.
Well, in that case, I'll take it.
Oh, you won't be sorry. Now, if you let me write up the order,
Mrs. Marvin Crowell.
And which credit plan did you say you prefer?
Stretch it out. My husband and I decided last night that... Oh, here it is. Here's the charge card.
Oh, thank you. Good. Now, just sign here.
Mm-hmm. And when will it be delivered?
In a few days. We'll rush your application to City Central Credit today.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Crowell.
Well, aren't you going to ask me?
What?
Well, you've been home almost an hour and you haven't asked me what happened at the store.
I was waiting for you to tell me. What did happen?
I got it. A real beauty. And the man told me that the ice maker's as perfect as it can be.
No more warm drinks.
Not unless we want them warm.
But when'll it be here?
In less than a week. Soon as they check our credit records.
Approved. Disapproved. Approved. What do I stamp on this one? Help? Or maybe calamity? He's already used up 3 times his total credit quota? No, that's impossible. Someone would have caught it. Well, here's a nice stamp I haven't used in a long time. Hold for further action. I'll just ship this problem upstairs. Dear Mr. Buchanan, just wait until you meet the Crowell family. And that is that. Now, approve.
Store today.
Huh?
It's been 6 whole days since I placed that order.
Well, I thought they said it would take a week.
Well, they said within a week, dear. That usually means 5 days. So I decided to call them and see if anything has gone wrong with our credit application.
Had anything?
No. No, in fact, they said my application had gone to City Central on the day my order was placed. It was marked rush, too.
You see?
Yeah, well, I hope nothing's happened to it in the Record Bureau.
Oh, no, darling. You know nothing can go wrong there.
Yes, sir, Mr. Granville. Yes, sir, I'll handle it just that way. May! Hey, the devil is that girl. She leaves a bunch of files on that desk and then rushes off, and I've got to talk to Mr. Granville about finding a new secretary. Let May give someone else a headache for a change. See? What's this? Hold for further action. Oh, I haven't seen one of those in a... Crowell, Marvin T. and Phyllis L. Optimum family of 2 adults and 2 children. Oh, very good. Total credit used on all accounts equals 3 times total credit allowable? Oh, not so good. In fact, very bad. May?
Yes, Mr. Buchanan.
Where have you been? No. Never mind telling me. Just get hold of all credit information for Crowell, Marvin T. and family. I want to know what credit accounts he's been overdrawing on and how much. It looks like somebody's either made a colossal error or Mr. Crowell is one of our master swindlers. No, and put this folder in a hold file till the other records are sent through. We'll have to keep the Crowells in abeyance for a while.
The Crowells?
They're files, of course. Though I must say, I sometimes agree with Mr. Granville's theory about a person's files being more real than he himself. That's all, May.
I've had the oddest feeling lately, darling, as though I'm suspended somewhere.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I've had it, too. It's almost as if I'm unreal. The world is unreal. I don't know which.
I wonder what it means.
Perhaps it's the weather. Maybe sunspots.
Do you think we should see a doctor, dear?
Yeah, I think we should. Why don't you call Dr. Saunders tomorrow? Something must be terribly, terribly wrong.
Children's accounts, Buchanan. I remember that it was a case several years ago where a 7-year-old boy ordered a jet plane and hired a pilot on his elementary school training account. Some clown let the request through and it loused up his parents' credit plan for 10 years. Are you sure nothing like that happened with the Crowells?
Oh, absolutely. I checked everything. The only answer is a mistake in the key punch department.
The key punch department? That's the only answer?
Well, I don't...
There can be a lot of answers, Buchanan. If we neglected to enter any information or never received it in the first place, the result would be just what we have now. All right, send all that stuff over to me. I'll take it from there myself. Miss Coom, Elizabeth, get the file on a family named Crowell, Marvin and Phyllis Crowell.
Is it time to take those pills that the doctor gave us?
Nerve pills?
Yes. He said there was nothing wrong with it. It's fallen on mine, sir.
Yeah, I know. Do you want to hear something strange?
What?
Dr. Saunders. I don't think he's very real either.
Is this everything? All the Crowell records?
It's everything that Mr. Buchanan sent.
I see. Well, it's beginning to look like he was right after all. These people are just not the type to get into trouble. Can you guess how I know that?
Through the file records, Mr. Granville.
Exactly. I can tell more about a person by leafing through his records than I ever could by talking to him. I'm even beginning to feel more at home with records than I do with people. I like them better. They're just as intelligent and they don't answer back.
Yes, sir.
I suppose you think I'm talking nonsense, don't you? Well, that's your business. But in the meantime, I want you to call the main record section and get all the records they have on the Crowls.
All the records?
Yes, everything. Tell them I want everything, and don't take any hedging around. You see, I think Buchanan's right, but before we accuse Tea Punch of making an error, I want to be sure. Then I can sit back and enjoy their squirming.
Yes, sir. Anything else?
No, just get those files and get them fast.
Harry, this is Elizabeth Coor. How's everything in Main Records? Oh, here? Oh, just dandy. His nibs is in one of his moods. Yeah. Yes, you can do something for me, Harry. Mr. G would like to have everything there is on Crowl, Marvin T, and family. Family master account number 8CDF5890310. Do you have that? Yeah, good. Oh, yes, he did say everything, but I don't believe he meant duplicates. He did say everything, though. Listen, I just want you to follow his orders to the letter. Yeah, look, look. Just send him everything on the Crowls, but I mean everything. Yeah, that's it. Every piece of paper you can get your hands on. I want his desk to be buried in Crowls.
Marvin, why do you keep looking over your shoulder?
Well, it's strange, but with all those other odd things.
Yes.
I didn't want to tell you, but I keep having the feeling that someone's spying on me, observing me.
Like a scientist watching you under a microscope?
Yeah, but how do you know? Is it happening to you, too?
Yes. Yes, to both of us, like before. And the nerve pills don't help, do they?
No, not at all.
Marvin?
Esther?
What's happening to all of us?
I don't know, dear. I don't know. I can't think.
What is all this?
It's what you ordered, Mr. Granville. Everything on the Crowell family, with all the triplicates and quadruplicates that Main Records sent up.
Triplicates? Quadruplicates?
Yes, sir. You did say everything, didn't you? Well, I ordered everything.
You ordered... Well, I have been driving you pretty hard these last few weeks, haven't I, Elizabeth?
Oh, why, Mr. Granville, I'm not saying...
You don't have to. I know the technique. Follow the boss's orders to the letter and hope that he strangles in them. I've used that trick once or twice myself.
And what are you going to do?
Well, you're too good a secretary to fire, so I guess I'll just have to take you out to lunch.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Granville, but that's hardly necessary.
Just let me go through this mess first and see if I'm not right about Key Punch. I'll get it. Granville here. Ah, yes, Anderson. I was rather expecting to hear from Key Punch. It's Anderson and Key Punch. What's that? You say the Crowell family case has come to your attention. He says the Crowell family case has come to his attention. Yes, Anderson, I rather thought it might come to your attention. Yes, I know that something seems to have gone wrong. The question is where? Yes, we have the records. Yes, we have all the records. I told him we have all the records. Yes, we have duplicates, triplicates, quadruplicates, everything. We're thorough here, Anderson. Now, Anderson, don't cry. He's crying. What's that? You say that Key Punch punched an extra hole in the Crowell family's master card? Key Punch punched an extra hole in the Crowell card. No. Don't jump, Anderson. He was going to jump out the window. Pull yourself together, old man. There. Of course, we'll keep your secret. Now, what are you going to do? I see. You're going to destroy this master card and then make a corrected card from the records. Well, of course, that's the thing to do. What are you afraid of? Oh, the evidence. Yes, of course, I understand that you don't ever want anyone to know. But I promise that we won't tell. Remember, we don't ever tell. Why don't you just tear the card up? Or why don't you just burn it? That's what they always do with secret papers. Good. Burn it up and no one will ever be the wiser. Goodbye. Well, that's that. It's time for us to go to a well-earned lunch, Elizabeth.
Shouldn't I send these papers back to the files first? I'm sorry about all those duplicates.
You forget it. We'll take care of them when we return. We have to celebrate. I'll meet you at the elevator.
All right, I just want to get my pet. Oh, darn. Everything's on the floor. It serves me right for pulling a stunt like that. Well, I better leave him there now and run, or he'll snap my head off. Thank goodness cleanup doesn't come until 5. I feel feverish, Marvin.
So do I. I feel like I'm on fire.
Just feel my forehead. I'm burning up.
I got to loosen this tie.
Marvin, look. Huh? Look at the children.
Where?
Right out the window. They're fanning themselves as if they were hot, too. See, Billy's pulling off his shirt and Nancy's crying.
Well, call him in, honey. I don't want us to be apart.
Oh, I will this minute. Children, Billy, Nancy, come in.
Now, that is what I call a pleasant lunch, Betty. We ought to do that more often.
That would be very nice, sir. Thank you.
Now, to clear up that little matter about the, what was the name of that family?
I've completely forgotten. Mr. Granville, look. Did you see this notice?
What notice, my dear?
Well, here on the board. They're adding an extra cleanup detail to this floor.
Very commendable.
All those papers, Mr. Granville. I dropped them on the floor before we left.
You mean that whole pile?
And I was going to pick them up when we got back with the new cleaning schedule. Oh, they're gone.
Oh, no. Not the whole file.
Yes.
Well, that was every record anybody has of them.
They're gone. They've taken them to the incinerator.
Murder. It's murder.
What?
You've murdered them.
Oh.
They have no more records. They're not real anymore. They don't exist.
Marvin, where are the children? I can't see them anymore. It's so dark. So dark and so warm.
Here they are, darling. Let's all join hands so that we can stay together.
Oh, yes, yes, that's it. Take my hand. Everybody join.
Living Credit, written by Mort Golding and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Court Benson, Mary Kay Wells, Cliff Owen, Vicki Vola, Robert Dryden, and Evelyn Juster. Audio engineers, Bill Sandreuter and Marty Folia. Sound technician, Ed Blaney. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser.
The
that's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show this week. I hope you enjoyed our selections this time. You can find more from Theater 5 and Zero Hour at the website relicradio.com. You can also find past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.